All right, it is good to have you with us tonight, and those who are on live stream, good to have you as well. And certainly want to say to the Corallos, I believe they're live stream tonight because their children are not well, and there's probably some others. And we want to remember Miss Jill, and as she's had the surgery this week, and we're looking forward to her being back with us as well as others. But we're glad that you're here. And one thing I did just pass over, and that is having a word of prayer to get started. And it's good to have Thomas back with us. And as someone said as we came in, oh, Brother Thomas is here. And I said, oh, good. And I'm trying to think through my head, whom have I met named Thomas? And do you know Thomas? I do. And he says, yes, he's from Ambassador. And I'm starting going through my Thomases. All right. And, Thomas Simpson, yes. And evidently he was here for a while, and it's good to have him back. And so, brother, would you lead us in a word of prayer as we begin tonight, please?
Father, we thank you for the privilege being able to come to your house tonight and hear your word preached. Lord, I pray that you would bless the kids' services as well that are going on in this moment and guide the teachers.
Mm, yes.
Transform them by your power. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us now as we're opening your word. Be with Pastor Bray.
Mm,
and God,
please
give him clarity of thought and speech. Oh, Holy Spirit, pray you guide in the service tonight. Lord, you know what it is that I need. I pray that I would listen, that I would hear, that I would trust, and that I would obey. And I pray, Lord, for each of the men and women that are also listening as well, that you would just work in their hearts and meet the needs that are there. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. As you know, those of you who have been with us the last two Wednesday nights, we have been studying the Holy Spirit and looking forward to what the Lord uses in our hearts as developing that absolute intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Now, Brother Thomas was just finished a class in pneumatology at Ambassador that I taught, and it's the study of the Holy Spirit. So he is getting a second dose of this, but it's been personalized. The study that we've done the last two Wednesdays, especially for the ministry here at Calvary Baptist, as we are a church that is absolutely committed, as we talked about this last Sunday with a great response, absolutely committed to being the church that God wants us to be. Amen or no? Absolutely so. And that is not possible unless we are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And that is not possible if we don't know what all the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Because if He's actively at work and we're not aware of it, those things kind of just pass us by, and we're not giving the credit to the Holy Spirit, not just in worship, but also in placing our hands on the very things that He's doing so that we can know Him better, so that we can serve Him more faithfully, so that our tool chest becomes better equipped with those tools, those skills, that knowledge. Skillet's not a bad thing either. But those skill sets is what I was trying to say. Those things that we need in our own lives, but also as God wants to use us in other individuals' lives. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to make a very quick review. If you're going to have your tennis shoes on, so to speak, of from whence we've come, and we've looked at a number of things, maybe a dozen or so things. We looked up some verses about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And then we're going to look at the book of Ephesians, only six chapters long. Six chapters is all. And yet, and that's what we're studying on Sunday nights, is the book of Ephesians. I don't know about you, I'm loving it. I just absolutely just enjoyed last Sunday night before, and looking forward to what God has for us in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and so forth. But we're going to look at Ephesians, and all six chapters, in all six chapters is the Holy Spirit listed as far as working in our lives. And so we're going to look briefly at that, and then we're going to look at a couple of other things as time permits. So with that in mind, just kind of sit back for a moment. Many of you have this, somebody told me Sunday that they can almost hear pencils and pens writing behind them. And so so if you have been taking those notes, you'll have a number of these things in your notes. So I'm just going to hop, skip, and jump real quickly, just so that our minds kind of get off of where we were before we came here tonight, trying to wolf down some supper, so to speak, or maybe just coming straight from work, or whatever the activities were, just trying to get here on time and some other things. And now we're going to slow down just a little bit. But give a kind of a quick pace as to what we've already seen the Holy Spirit does in our lives. So we've seen and looked up some these verses. He prays and he intercedes for us from Romans chapter 6 and John chapter 15. And the last one we had was Revelation chapter 2. And then he teaches us. And we saw that in John chapter 16. And then he leads and guides, John chapter 16 as well. He loves us, Romans chapter 15. I tell you what, I'm not going to give the passages, but let's just kind of allow the what he's doing to just kind of once again marinate in our minds. Just kind of sink in and just kind of, well, thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, so he prays, he communicates, he teaches. Oh, I need that so much. He leads and he guides. We all need that, don't we? The concourses of life, the areas of life. He loves us. Oh, here in his love. We've talked about that. He loves us. And then he reproves us. We looked at John. You'll remember we talked about when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we talked about the reason for that is because the Lord Jesus, he's speaking to his disciples there. He's talking about the Holy Spirit who had not yet been granted to every believer. But when Jesus said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And we talked about the fact that that's what Jesus did while he was here. And so the Holy Spirit's going to do the same thing. We talked about in the unsaved, but we also talked about the saved. Because he does the same thing. He convicts the Christian of sin, does he not? Absolutely. He reproves the world of sin, but also of righteousness. And then also of judgment, because there is a great white throne judgment for the unsaved, but there's the Bema Seat of Christ, or some call it the Bema Seat of Christ, for those who are saved. The dispensing of the rewards and so forth, as well as giving account as a steward of what God's done and what he's given in our lives. Just several more, just two or three more, and then we're going to look at the other. And that is, he restrains. Acts chapter 16 and Titus chapter 3 talks about the restraining of the Holy Spirit, that if the Holy Spirit was not here, we think that we live in a decadent society, a worldly, ungodly society, but you remove the Holy Spirit, oh my goodness, you have the Tower of Babel all over again. You have just sin as it just mushrooms and it blossoms to its full extent. So he is a restraining influence on all of that. And then also we looked lastly, if I remember correctly, and he performed miracles. And we talked about that from Hebrews and Acts and several other places. Now with that in mind, and if you want to just jot these passages down, you're welcome to. But the first one we're going to, these are all from the book of Ephesians. And there's about 8 or 9 of them, something like that. Ephesians 1:13, and I'll just quote what it says to you. I'll read what it says, not quote it. But this is the passage where the Bible says that we are sealed, you're sealed, with that Holy Spirit of promise. So that's Ephesians 1:13. Now all these are going to be from Ephesians. Then you have chapter 2 and verse 18. So 1:13, then 2:18. Through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So because we have the Holy Spirit, we have direct access to the Father. Now we know that Jesus intercedes for us as well. And we believe there's different areas of responsibility but between the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. But it says through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Same chapter, verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together an habitation of God. And how does that happen? Through the Spirit. Okay, so we know that the believer's life, the Christian's life, is one of edification. In fact, if you look up the word, and anybody can do it, you look up the word edification, it has the word holy right in the middle of it. It's building up that habitation, that holy sanctified or set apart ministry to the Lord. All right, so that's chapter 2, verse 22. Then we come to chapter 3 and verse 5. He talks about a mystery is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the one who, like in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, of course, we know that the Word of God was given to us as breathed by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 16. So now you have 1:13, chapter 2, verses 18 and 22, chapter 3, verse 5, and now verse 16. That he would grant you, he's talking to the Christians at Ephesus, according to the riches, opulent wealth, the riches of his glory. Why? To be strengthened by might or with might by his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, especially on a Wednesday night, I'm kind of, it's like they say about horses that are put up and they don't take care of them. They're put up wet and just weary, and they're not dried out. They're not wet, rubbed down or anything, and then put in the stall. Sometimes that's how we feel, maybe even on a Wednesday night. And yet it says here that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in the inward man. Our outward man, oh, it might get just weary. Maybe weary times 11. And yet, no matter how weary we become, we can be strengthened through the Holy Spirit. When you're ill, perhaps on a deathbed, you can still be strengthened by the inner man. And he provides that peace that passeth all understanding. And I've probably mentioned it here, but when they put my pacemaker in, my blood rate, my heart rate was very low. And they pulled out all the folks and all the attendants, and so he pulled them all out and said, "We want to talk of here a minute." So the surgeon took everybody out except for one lady, and while they were all out, I kind of put two and two together that something's not quite right in the area there. And so while we were there, I'm strapped down and I just assumed that maybe this is not going to go as we thought it might. And maybe they are concerned that I might not make it through the surgery. And so I'm here to tell you that when I just, and normally when I do that, I put my hands out like that and I say, "Lord, here we go. You just lead and I'll follow." And but I couldn't because they were strapped down. I said, "Well, Lord, you know I can't turn my hand over because it's strapped down. But Lord, that's okay because I know I'll just follow. And you're going to lead me. You have all these years. And if this is your time to take me, then I know you'll take care of Becky and you'll take care of Hannah and my responsibilities." And I was about to go to Ambassador. It happened from the time that I told Temple that I'd be leaving and the time that it was time for me to start at Ambassador. It was right in between the two. And I said, "Lord, you'll have to help Brother Beal and everything else, but I know you'll guide the way." Now, here's my point. Is that when we're weary or we're in a setting, and it may not be physical, it may be financial, it may be just emotional, whatever it is, when you and I walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, what a joy it is that we can just walk to the Holy Spirit. It's not a very far walk. I mean, you don't even have to walk from here to the piano. I don't even have to walk from here to the end of the pulpit. I can just go right here and say, "Holy Spirit, I could use you. I could use your help right now. I'm a little bit afraid, or I'm a little bit weary, or I'm a little bit under the gun, but that's okay. Others have been that way, and you've been beside them, and I'm asking your help." And that's what that passage means. All right, let's keep going. Chapter 4, verse 3. There's two texts here. Well, actually, it's verses 3 and 4, so let's just read them together. It says, "Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called." And that's the calling on the New Testament church. There's not to be a division of spirits. Now, we may have some that have differences of opinion on whether, you know, they, as I've mentioned, they like to watch paint dry. And Saturday, we'll watch some paint dry, Lord willing. And others think, "Well, nah, that's not something, that's not my cup of tea." And others may like sports and others. But our unity here is to be light driven. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. But he's talking about unity with God. But in the context, he's about talking about unity with the brethren. But here specifically, he is crediting the Holy Spirit to be the agency in which, as we're walking after the Holy Spirit, and Brother Josh is walking after the Holy Spirit, and Sister Jury is walking after the Holy Spirit, and, well, as we're walking after the Holy Spirit, there's going to be unity there. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, now, Josh, you just fly your own kite there, fella. And sister over here, you don't have to get along with him because, well, you know, he's kind of different anyway. And he looks at the preacher and says, bless his heart. He doesn't have a half a chance at normalcy. And so he just does his own thing. Well, now, we can be different in different ways. And yet if I'm walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh, and he is and she is, and then we're going to have Spirit guided. Now, we're walking in the light as Christ is in the light, as God is in the light, but also it's going to be Spirit guided, as it says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope. That's joyful anticipation. In one hope of your calling. God has a will for Calvary Baptist Church. Amen or no? Amen. And it's not to be carnal or worldly. Amen. 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 Good. Good. That's an encouragement. All right. If it is, we're in big trouble. All right. No. God's will is not for us to be carnal. We shouldn't act like the world, dress like the world, anything else like. Now, we're not talking about cars and houses, things like that. We're talking about worldly philosophies that contradict biblical principle. And because there's a lot of churches in which that really isn't a high priority. It's whether or not that we like them or whether they treated my children right or whether this happens or that happens. And so they let circumstances be the guarantor of whether or not they're going to be in fellowship or not. You sit on that side, I'll sit on this side. You sit back there, I'll sit up here. We see each other, we have a mutual agreement not to talk. Okay, that's not what he's talking about here. We have one hope, one joyful anticipation of his calling, and that is for us to be brethren. All right, and chapter 4, another passage in 4, he says, and grieve not, we're going to talk about that here in a moment, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let's just give it a quick cliff notes there, just a boom, real quick. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, that's an injunction. That's a command. Okay? Whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Have you ever heard the old statement? I'm not going to say it correctly, so you may have to help me. That someone cuts off their nose to spite their face. Is that how it goes? I almost said it the reverse of that. It's cut off their face to spite their nose. But I knew that didn't sound right when it was coming out. All right. They cut off their nose to spite their face. In other words, that's counterproductive. You know, I don't like the way my nose looks. Now I don't have a nose. That's not good. You need a nose. All right. Well, the truth of the matter is, when he says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, okay? And then he tells us, why? Whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. The very one who is maintaining our salvation. If we're not walking after the Spirit, we're grieving the very one who has our salvation wrapped up and sealed. Okay? So he's saying that. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 5, 9, and 10. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I didn't look that up today. I think I looked it up the other day. And the word proving there has the idea of to put to proof by experiment. It's like when you, and I think we've used that term in another passage of Scripture, but you get an ore, some kind of ore out of the ground. And you say, I think this is solid gold. And so you take it to the assayer's office, and he puts different chemicals to it, and he brings it out, and he says, Brother Bray, I hate to tell you this, but I put it to the acid test, and you don't have Au2, you don't have gold, you have another element, it's called pyrite. Anybody know what pyrite is? Fool's gold, that's right. It kind of looks like gold in the raw, but when you put it to the test, I grew up in Arizona, they have a lot of pyrite around Arizona, and we would get it and think, oh, this is wonderful, and it's not hardly worth anything other than to put on a shelf and say, ah, gotcha, that's not gold. All right, so the point is here, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Let's pause momentarily. How much of today was invested in those three, the trinity of godliness as appointed here, in righteousness, goodness, and truth? When you and I set out at the dawning of a day, or if you get up and you have the third shift, as I've worked from 8 at night to 8 in the morning at a plastic mill. But as you go to work or whatever you do, when you first get up and you set the day or you set the night, and here's the direction I want to go. If you put these three, he said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And what it does, what does it do? It proves what is acceptable unto the Lord. You put it under that microscope. You put it to the test, all right? Is this righteous? Is it good? And is it true? And does it violate any Bible principle? No, it's in all goodness, and it's acceptable unto the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 18, he says, and be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Sword of God. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then chapter 6, the last chapter and the last verse we'll talk about. He says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice what he says then. After doing that, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, he doesn't stop there. He says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There shouldn't be a member of Calvary Baptist Church that we're not doing that. We start out by doing it in our own lives, praying always with all prayer and supplications. And we do that with the Holy Spirit, okay, guiding us and helping us. But he says here, in the Spirit and watching thereto, since we've been doing that, praying with all prayer and supplication, prayers are our normal prayers. Lord, please be with Miss Mary. Lord, please be with whomever. Our normal prayers. But then our supplications, as we prayed for our sister with the gallbladder surgery, and we pray for our brother, we pray for whomever, okay? And as we pray for them, but we find out there's some urgent needs, and we say, oh, dear Lord. He says, watching thereunto. The word watching there has the idea of intent viewing, scoping it out, making certain that we're not missing anything. So that means I need to be watching each one, and you need to be watching all of us, because he uses the word for all saints. So, as we've just taken what we've already studied, and we've looked at the verses already that we've looked at the last week or two, but then tonight, as we look once again and just say, okay, Lord, I want to make certain that I am right on track with what you have for me. Now, someone sent me a text a week or so ago and said, I really want to know more about quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. So let me give you, if I may, five different words that are used that are in conjunction of disappointing the Holy Spirit. The first one is the word quench. All right, the first word is word quench. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 19. And this is oftentimes maybe the beginning steps that someone makes as they begin to, as James says, to err from the truth. They're trying to follow after the Spirit. They're trying to make sure that the banner for the day is righteousness and truth and goodness. And I want my attitudes, my actions, my relationships, my prayer life, my associations with those I love, my associations with those with whom it's difficult. And yet there's a righteous way for me to do that. And so you're intent on doing that, but James says, brethren, do not err from the truth. Err has the idea to step to the side. Do not wander from the truth. In my opinion, quenching oftentimes has that idea in mind. It literally has this idea in mind to suppress and to extinguish. How many times in Randy Bray's life, I hate to tell this over the live stream, but it is the truth. There's been too many times in my life as a youngster, as a young man, and in these years not so young, when the Holy Spirit deals with my heart about doing something, and I suppress it because I'm happy. That's the reason when I was praying the day after being here the second time, and just praying about something unrelated to Calvary Baptist, it was dealing with an individual, and I was praying about that individual, and God began dealing with me. And I've been down this road several times before, like you have. I'm not the only one that does that. Certainly not. My goodness, no. But as I'm on my knees praying, the Lord began dealing with me about something. And so I got up off my knees and I said, Lord, it seems as though you may be impressing me on something. And if you are, Lord, if you'll just help me to think of why. And so I had a legal pad there. I brought it over just right where I was praying and brought it over, sat down and started writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And then I won't put you through the rest of it. I've already done that by and large, not everything. But I've watched as the Lord began putting a lot of things in place. And I've told you before, this is not just because Thomas is here. I love teaching. I absolutely, except for certain students that begin, their first name begins with a T. But other than that, no, I love teaching Brother Thomas. But I absolutely loved it. I do. I teach Christian home. I love it. I teach counsel. I teach 13 other subjects in different semesters. But just absolutely love it. But I've learned that when God begins dealing with my heart, it doesn't necessarily mean he's causing me to make a move or to do anything else. Maybe I just had a burden on something. And so I've asked the Lord to help me to learn how to differentiate between a burden and a calling. And so the point I'm trying to make is this, that too many times in the past, I believe that like many Christians, I have something comes in my mind and it has a righteous ambition about it. And it's a righteous ambition that I could pursue. I could do something about that righteous ambition. But rather than giving into it and following it, I just kind of set it to the side and again set it to the side and again set it to the side. And each time I set it to the side, my reach goes a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further until that voice is no longer calling me to leave Asia and go into Macedonia, if we could use the Apostle Paul's call. He was headed toward Asia Major on the missionary trip to be used of God some way every day. And he received a call. Whoa, opposite direction. He didn't have to go all the way back to Jerusalem. He just had to take a left turn instead of a right turn. Go up to the north part of the Aegean Sea and go to Thessalonica and Philippi and on around. And so that's what we're talking about here, is quenching the Holy Spirit. The second one is grieve, to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. We quoted that just a moment ago. And the word grieve has this in mind: to affect with sadness. Wow. Think about it. The reason I had us to go through the first, I normally am not going to go back and repeat the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, the sixth one, the seventh one, the eighth one, the ninth one, the tenth one we did. But I want you to have that in your pocket, so to speak. When we started going through these five, I wanted there to be a little bit of an ensemble there between what we've already gone through and then about the 10 or 12 from Ephesians that I gave you. So you've got Ephesians in one pocket. You've got what we'd already gone through in another pocket. And now we think about the Holy Spirit could be quenched. I can say, oh, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Not right now, though. And I postpone it and keep putting it off. Oh, but grieving the Holy Spirit, that takes it to a different level. To affect with sadness or to make sorrowful. Oh, my. My thoughts go back to Jeremiah where how often, no, it's the Lord Jesus, how often would I have gathered you like chicks under a mother hen's wing and just gathered you unto myself, but you would not listen. Think about the Holy Spirit that's in your life. As I think about the Holy Spirit and all the things we've already quoted, and I've got about 15 more of them after this. We'll probably not get to those tonight. But I wanted us right in the middle of that to understand, yes, in my left pocket I've got all of Ephesians, in my right pocket I've got, 10 or 12, or actually I didn't even give you all the verses from all the others. There's a bunch of verses that document the things we've already been over, and yet understanding what we already understand, that even as Galatians says and Romans says, that Galatians says in chapter 5, if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, it says ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because Randy Bray's so strong I can muscle my way through it? No. It's because of everything we've already been over and everything we have yet to be over that God's doing, the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives. And what a wise Christian it is that looks at this and says, I have the ability to bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. If that was not possible, it would not be written here. And as I go back quickly through the decades of my life, and I'm so glad that God is long-suffering, aren't you? Amen. He's patient, yes, but He's also long-suffering. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And I wonder, how many times have I brought sorrow to His heart? And yet at the conclusion of that, even the same sweet Holy Spirit would say, Randy, have you strived to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh in recent years? And I think most of us here tonight would say, yes, I'm not sinless. Obviously, 1 John says that. But that has been my ambition, is to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Well, then there's no sorrow there. So if sorrow is absent from the Holy Spirit, and we are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, and therefore we're not fulfilling the lust, the passions of the flesh, then that means that we are also able not only to bring sorrow to, but in the absence of sorrow would be delight. Then we can bring joy and delight to none other than the Holy Spirit, as I believe we've already seen in the verses that we've had before us. So to grieve means to affect with sadness, to make sorrowful. Let's take the others. We have three more. To vex, V-E-X, V as in victory, E-X, vex. And that is Isaiah 63 and verse number 10. If you go to the context in Isaiah 63, you'll notice that God is kind of taking him to the woodshed. And right up to verse number 9, he is telling them how the things that he would do for them, the things that he wanted to do in their life, and then he's dealing with them in verse number 10 and a couple more verses, and then he's going to go back to how much he loves them. But verse number 10 talks about that you can rest. That's not R-E-S-T, that's W-R-E-S-T. Have you ever heard the old phrase, or somebody, he hits somebody on the nose? Sorry about this, Mike. All right, those of you who are live stream might want to hang on to your ears. But to rest has the idea to go boom, and you don't only just hit it straight on, you turn the knuckles. All right? It's the kind of idea there. To vex, to rest, to hurt, to pain, to grieve. To grieve. Number 4 is to do despite, D-E-S-P-I-T, to do despite, literally has the idea to insult the Holy Spirit. And you see that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Hebrews 10 and verse number 29. You'll remember chapter 10, we've already dealt with that in a different text or a different subject. But in chapter 10, in chapter 9 and chapter 10, he talks about that the Lord Jesus will only die one time. If we sin after that, we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth therefore no more sacrifice for sins. So he's only going to die one time, and that is different than the priests who had to offer sacrifices daily for themselves, perhaps, but certainly for the children of Israel who came to them. But the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross was only done one time so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. But when we do despite or insult, it's understanding that in the context of all that Jesus has done for us, all that he's done for us, and we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. It was Jesus who died on the cross. It was his blood that paid for our sins so that we could be made and quickened by the Holy Spirit and made alive in Christ. But when I choose to have a bad attitude, when I choose to harbor bitterness, when I choose to engage in a sinful activity or ambition or action, when I choose to do that, and I belong to God because of the blood of Christ, but it's the Holy Spirit who is indwelling me, and he is championing in my heart and in my life, Randy, here's how you can grow in the Lord. Here's how you can read your Bible and understand what it says. Here's how you can have a sweet spirit even with someone who's contrary. Here's how you can do that. But if I choose instead to harbor bitterness, what am I doing? I'm not only vexing the Holy Spirit, not only am I grieving and making him sorrowful, but I'm also trampling under the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes to a place where he is insulted because the Son of God is also God. Is he not? Amen or no? Yes, he is. And the Holy Spirit is insulted of how we're treating the blood of Christ. In our left pocket, we have Ephesians. In our right pocket, we have all the verses we've already read, and we're going to have more next time. But I wanted to, in the middle of that, to remind us, how dare I, Randy Bray speaking here, how dare I maintain a bad attitude? How dare I remain lazy in the work of God? How dare I, whatever it is that's disappointing to the Holy Spirit, who is jealous, the Bible says, for me, because he wants God's blessings to be in my life. He wants me to be led by the Holy Spirit himself, even as he takes all things and works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to the Spirit. But the reason Romans 8:28 is there is because 8:26 and 27, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is interceding for me in a way that I can't even comprehend with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he's interceding according to the will of God. So, what it says to Randy Bray is I really need to know how the Holy Spirit wants to work in my heart. And I would say corporately as a ministry body, and I believe that it is true of the ministry body of Calvary Baptist Church, if the services that I've been here on Sunday mornings and Sunday night and Wednesday night bear true, I would say the vast, vast, vast majority, if not just almost an entirety, this church has a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and wanting to be used of God, to invest well our lives for the glory of God. And so when we talk about doing despite, and the last one is to tempt, that's Acts chapter 5 and verse 9, you're familiar with Ananias and Sapphira, and they lied to the Holy Spirit, and the term there, he says, why tempt ye the Holy Spirit? The word tempt there is the same word we talked about just a minute ago. It has the idea to put to proof by experiment. Okay? Peirotzino, for Brother Thomas's sake. That's what it means, to put to proof by experiment. You know what Ananias and Sapphira were doing, if I've interpreted that correctly? When he says they tempted the Holy Spirit, is they were seeing how far and how much they could get away with before they received the chastening of the Lord. They just underestimated the degree of the chastening of the Lord when you lie to the Holy Spirit. And first of all, it cost Ananias, his life, and then Sapphira came in a little bit later, and she did the same thing when she could have said no, but she did the same thing, and she lost her life as well. I have to be careful, folks. Maybe you don't, but I have to be careful that I'm not trespassing on the patience and the long-suffering of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have to be in a corner and going, oh no, I'm afraid. I can't get out of this. I can't get out of this corner because if I take a step over here, I might grieve the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to do that, so I'm just gonna stay here and I'm not gonna attempt to sing in the choir. I'm not gonna attempt to soul win or anything because I may say it wrong or I may do whatever wrong, and so I'm just intimidated by all of that because I don't want to grieve, I don't want to vex, I don't want to insult, I don't want to speak sorrowful, so I'm not even gonna try to do anything. Well, you've already done all those things then. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Okay? As you and I step out and we just intentionally choose to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we're exciting the very heart, if I could put it that way, of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. That we talked about all of those other things that we've already mentioned. We're going to look at the fact that He comforts, He provides fellowship, He searches, He sanctifies, He justifies. He does all these other things. We got it in our left pocket. We've got it in our right pocket. But it better stay on our frontal attention. I don't want to grieve Him. I don't want to vex Him. I don't want to... Okay, now there's more things. All right. These things, yes, I got to keep it out like in a flying in an airplane, you have a radar. And if there's a blip there, you don't go, oh, there's a pretty blip. It's the color of Christmas. That's nice. Okay, and I don't pay attention to it. No, it's coming my way. Oh, good, Christmas is coming. No, it's an airplane, all right? The point is simply this. Now, I'm being silly, and I don't mean to be, but my point is when you and I walk after the Spirit and you're studying the Word of God to be more like Jesus, Romans 8:29, we have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, and we study the Word of God to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We study it because it's profitable for teaching, for doctrine, for reproof, saying, well, wait a minute, Randy, that's not right. For correction, here's how you get back right. And for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the point is, when we're just set out to be used of God, to grow in the Lord, and to please the Holy Spirit, we don't have to be intimidated by vexing and grieving and all of that, because as soon as the Holy Spirit goes, Melissa, it's going to say, oh, wow, you know what? I said something to whomever, and that wasn't said the best way. Or I meant it well, and I know it came across wrongly. Okay? When you and I walk after the Spirit, you don't have to be intimidated by all of these five things, but they just need to be on the horizon, on the radar, so that when the Holy Spirit goes, Randy, He doesn't have to get the megaphone out, so to speak, to get my attention. He already has it. And what sweet fellowship there is when you go, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you hadn't warned me that I was about to say something, or if you hadn't warned me that I had already said something, it would have just gotten worse and worse and worse, like an infection in the body. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll get that right. If it doesn't involve anyone else, Holy Spirit, would you please forgive me for my laziness or my callousness or whatever it is? If it involves someone else, okay, Holy Spirit, I'll have to come back and ask you to forgive me. First of all, I'm going to go to that individual because you're not going to forgive me unless I go to him or her first. You've already said that. Leave it at the altar. Go and make it right with that individual and then come back and ask me to forgive you. And I will. He says He will. What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. I wish we could go on for an hour, but it's time to go to prayer. So we'll do that. All right? And so we'll look forward to the last of those things, and then we'll go off on another study of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that you will just, if that's something that's foreign to you, to wake up in the morning and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I have a walk today, and I want to walk after you. And I'm going to be in the Word this morning, a special place, a sacred place, where I'll have the Holy Word, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit guiding me into all truth. And then as I embark on the day, I'm not going to be intimidated by it. I'm going to be encouraged that He's going to guide me. He'll lead me. He wants to more than I want Him to. And he wants to, and he will. All right. Any prayer requests that you have before we go to prayer? Any prayer requests that you might have tonight? Yes, ma'am. Miss Mary? Oh, yes, that's true.
So that's another reason she's not here tonight. But it's really bothering.
Okay, let's continue to pray. I think Becky, is that the lady you spoke with, Becky? It is, all right. And so we're praying for her already. Okay? Others, let's pray for the Corallo children. And so are there any others that you know of illness? Yes, ma'am.
One of my coworkers, her name is Shana. Her dad passed away yesterday.
Oh, no. And her name is Shannon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good.
And I don't know how many have looked at, this is kind of a praise and prayer rolled in together. I don't know how many have looked at our friends overseas in Asia, their prayer letter, but they had 90 people to come into the church balloons on Christmas Day.
Wow.
And their people right now, they're on fire.
I bet they are.
Praying and
wow. Wow. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. All right. Okay. Jordan, is it your hand's not up? All right. I thought I saw your hand up. Okay. Any others? Any others? Praise the Lord for that. If that happened here, I don't know if my pacemaker could handle it. All right. It'd just be working 90 miles an hour. All right. Let's give it a try, though. All right. All right. Any others? All right. Good. Well, let's do what we did the other night. Why don't we have the gentlemen to meet right up here? And well, I tell you what, let's have the ladies meet up here with Becky. And I think the fellows met back by the sound room. And so we'll bring our service to a conclusion. And those of you who are live stream, thank you for being with us. And we're going to divide and the men and the ladies and go to prayer. And thank you for being here and those who have been ill. And we can't wait till you get back. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll dismiss as far as the live stream, and then we'll go to prayer as far as the men and the ladies. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for our live stream friends. Some are shut-ins, and they just are not able anymore to get out, but we have an opportunity to get in and to be a part of their life on Wednesday night, and so we pray for them, even as they pray for us, and we pray your blessing upon them for being with us. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.